perfect night's sleep or a perfect rest before. I don't know. Some of you sleep well. I dream all the time, so this is not the norm for me. A couple weeks ago, it was raining on a Sunday afternoon, and I laid down to take a nap. And I woke up, and there was drool on my pillow, and I could hear the rain trickling outside. I had no concept of time. I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know what hour it was. I didn't know who I was. Ever had one of those experiences before? That's not the norm for me. Generally, the norm is I dream like crazy, and last night was no different. But my wife and I, or maybe this is my mistake, we watched a robbery heist movie right before we went to sleep. And so I fall asleep, and I'm in the heist movie, and I'm one of the, like, bad guys. And there's bullets whizzing by, and I literally woke up, and I was like, ah! And it felt, like, so real. I don't know about it. I dream in color. I can tell you, like, I really should write this stuff down and do some screenplays or something. But it was so real. This morning, we're going to read a story. We're in our series on Christmas insight, and we're going to read a story this morning about a real-life dream that took place for a guy named Joseph. And just to remind you, our series, Christmas Insight, we're getting insight from those who are there so that it can help us keep Christmas in sight. That's our focus this morning. So we're going to look at Joseph's story this morning, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, so if you want to follow along with us, Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 to 25. If you want to go back and read the lineage of Joseph leading up to Jesus, you can at some point. I'd love to highlight it. There's so many amazing things in the genealogy. I know that's not stirring the passions in your soul to read somebody's genealogy, but there's some amazing stuff there. We'll highlight that at another time. But we're in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. I'm going to read them all, and then we're going to kind of look through it this morning. Matthew 1, starting in verse 18, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Oh, there's so much good stuff there, and I just want to highlight it. We're going to look at it in three sections this morning, so I want to look at the first two verses, 18 and 19 first, and I want to highlight these different things that took place in those first first two verses there. First, it says she was pledged to be married. He was pledged to be married to her. We said this last week. Their cultural situation was a little bit different than ours. It was a three-phase process. So there was engagement that was an arrangement by the parents. Oftentimes when they were kids, they arranged for these two to get married. And then there was a commitment between the two, a written binding commitment, and that was the betrothal, and here referred to as the pledge. And then a year later, and it was really a year later for two reasons. One, because the husband had to go build a home, and two, to make sure she wasn't pregnant. That was the reason for this phase. So keep that in mind when, and it makes a whole lot of sense in the story that we just read. And then Mary was found to be with child, and it says through the Holy Spirit. We don't know necessarily if that was a conversation that Mary had with Joseph. Hey, I'm pregnant. The Holy Spirit was involved. I don't know about you, if you put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a second. Yeah, right. okay, I'm not necessarily going to believe that. And it's clear from the text that Joseph was processing all of this. It says he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. Instead, he was going to divorce her quietly. And just so we all understand, the process would have been really twofold. He either could have brought her before the religious leaders, and because there was a binding contract, the penalty for adultery was stoning. She could have been killed because she was found to be pregnant. That was obviously the extreme. And he was debating whether or not even considering that from the text, we see that. He was debating whether or not to divorce her quietly so that then there would be some gossip, there would be conversation around the community, but she wouldn't be killed. But the chances are really high that she wouldn't have found another spouse because she would have been assumed to be a cheater. And it's during this thought process that Joseph is having that it says he fell asleep and had a dream. So I don't know if this has ever happened. I've been thinking through stuff and falling asleep, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about it in my dream. I'm that guy. But so this is taking place, and he's going back and forth and back and forth, and then he falls into a deep sleep. But he had the opportunity to not have to deal with it on him, to point the finger at her and make all the attention go to her if he wanted to, and he was leaning towards just quietly divorcing her. I don't know if you've ever had an experience where somebody has like really come to your aid before, and when you've done something you know you shouldn't have and found that grace that you probably shouldn't deserve. I was a teenager. I was 15, 16 years old at the time. We were hanging out at one of our youth leaders' houses from the church. And we were in their living room. I'm sitting on a rocking chair, and I do not remember doing this, but I know it happened. I had something in my hand, a pen or something, and I looked down, and I had carved my name in the handle of this guy's rocking chair. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, what in the world did I just do? And this is where my teenage mind went, teenagers. I went, I'm just going to not say anything and just leave. And I had a great opportunity to do so. Why? Because the guy's name in the house was Jeff, too. So I left, and I didn't say anything. A couple days later, I get a phone call, and my mom's like, Jeff, did you carve your name in Jeff's rocking chair? And I was like, what? He's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. So I get on the phone, and I'm like, hi. And he's like, did you really carve your name in my rocking chair? And I was like, I think so. I don't remember doing it. I'm really, really sorry. He's like, do you know how much trouble you got me in with my wife? She thinks I carved my name in the rocking chair. It's la, la, la. And then I'm waiting for, like, you're never allowed over at my house again. And, you know, we're done. He says, listen, everybody makes mistakes. How about I'll fix it and we'll be good. And I said, are you sure? I'll come over. I'll do whatever. And he goes, no. He's like, you finally owned up to it. So we're just going to let it go. Joseph has had this horrible thing in his mind before he knows everything done to him. And he's willing to be gracious with her. He's a just man, a man who wants to follow the law, but at the same time wants to protect this woman. And then he falls into this deep sleep. In verses, the next couple of verses, 20 to 23, it's the story of him falling into this deep sleep. And I just want to highlight a couple of things here. It says, after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in this dream. And notice every other time that we've seen the angel show up, it's like been in person. We've had this whole conversation, don't be afraid. This time, it's in a dream. And I don't know. My mind goes a whole bunch of different places. Like in a dream, was that better for Joseph? I just understand that God knows what each of us need. And so he comes to Joseph in a dream. The angel of the Lord comes. And then he calls him Son of David. And this was his family lineage name. If my mom ever wanted to get my attention and I wanted her to know that she wanted to have a real conversation with me, she would go, Jeffrey John Salveson, get over here right now. I knew as soon as I heard those three words together that we were talking about something serious. The angel shows up and he addresses Joseph and he says, Son of David. And this would have got his attention. Immediately, the angel is going to his family lineage. I know who you are. Listen to what I have to say. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. This concept here was the word here for fear literally means to run away. don't run away from this scenario, the angel is saying to Joseph. Don't run. Don't discard. Don't tuck it aside. I'm asking you to deal with it. Because it wasn't a human who conceived this child. The Holy Spirit is the one who made this possible. And there's nothing nefarious in this conversation. Some people go to crazy concepts and ideas of what must have happened. The God of the universe who could create nothing, something from nothing, can create something from nothing. There was nothing nefarious from what we see from the text here in this regard. You are to give him the name Jesus. And what needs to be understood, Jesus was a very common name. There's actually 12 people in history about the time of Jesus who were given that name that we know of that were written down. However, this name means God saves. And so the Son of God needs to be named God Saves. And I love that it says here, saves his people from their sin and not God's people. If the angel had said to him, God's people, it would have clearly been understood to Joseph that he was talking about the Jewish people. But he doesn't choose that language. He says, his people. And so anybody who calls on his name, Jesus, gets to be his children. It's no longer exclusive. It's open to humanity, which is amazing. This is to fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah. If it's from Isaiah chapter 14, the virgin will be conceived and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. He's not referred to Emmanuel like pretty much the rest of his life. But that word Emmanuel is very important because one, it talks to the two parts of Jesus, that he is deity and that he is humanity. He is 100% God and 100% man. And I know that's hard for our minds to grapple and to try to figure out, but that's reality. He took the image of God and put it together with God and gave us Emmanuel, God with us. I love the way that Spurgeon puts it this way. Whoever you may be, you need no priest or intercessor to introduce you to God, for God introduced himself to you. We don't have to go to God. He comes to us, is the concept here. It's been a rough year for a lot of people. And this story jumped across my news feed on Monday morning. But we had a jumper here on the Cuomo Bridge. 9 o'clock in the morning, a woman pulled her car up to the middle of the span and jumped off the bridge. And miracle upon miracles, she survived because that's a 150-foot drop. It's a miracle that somebody saw her because it was after most of the traffic is into the city. And it's a miracle that within minutes, 12 different organizations jumped in the river and they found her and they saved her. If it had been a couple more minutes, who knows? And I can't help but think about that story and think about the God of the universe who saw his broken world. And Romans tells us at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ came. This story continues, and Joseph wakes up from this dream. In verses 24 to 25, when Joseph wakes up, he did what the angel told him. And I don't know if you've ever had like one of those dreams and you wake up and you're like, okay, that seems so like, there's an action step here. Is it the burrito I had before I went to bed? Is it nothing? There's not any indication from the text. He knew what happened to him in his dream and he acts upon it. He took Mary home to be his wife. And this is in here, I think, for a number of different reasons, but there is theology going on out there that Mary stayed a virgin for the rest of her life. This verse expels that. They didn't consummate the marriage until after his son was born. The implication is that they did, if you're wondering. And he gave him the name Jesus. They both gave him the name that they were told to give him. And this, for me, understand, there's so many these nuances and these amazing little things hidden in the details here. Mary could have been exposed and what she supposedly done, even though she didn't really do it, would have been considered shame upon her. What Joseph's response does was brought the shame upon him, because the implication that he goes ahead with marrying her is they jumped the gun and got pregnant before they were born. And that would be on the guy, not the girl. And so the shame would be on him. I know it's a foreign concept to us. We don't think about that in this regard. There is no steps in our culture anymore that what goes first, marriage or a kid. It gets all out of whack. But in that culture, this would have brought a certain level of shame upon the family. And Joseph knows that if he stays with her and does what the angel said, the shame is going to shift from her to him. And he's going to take that on. And so what Joseph does for you and for me is he foreshadows what Jesus ultimately does for you and for me, where Jesus takes it on for us at the cross and takes the shame and the sin upon himself. So even in his birth, through his earthly father, there's a foreshadowing of what Jesus, the Son of God, will do for you and for me. And if that doesn't give you joy, I'll do cartwheels or jumping. I don't know. That should give you joy. So I think there's really two questions or responses that we can draw from this morning. What are we running away from or ready to give up on, but we know we shouldn't? This season brings up a lot of these. I don't know how many mornings I've woken up and I've had zero motivation to go through the day, just zero. And giving up. Even going to the grocery store the other day, like most of that day, I was like, ugh, this day is terrible. I ran into somebody I knew whose father is sick with COVID, and I got an opportunity to pray for them. And then I run into this guy at the counter who asked me all these soul questions. I could have just, blown him off and, stopped talking to me, dude, and gone about my day. We have opportunities with these all the time. What are we maybe discarding or running away from during this season because our situation has caused us to not want to deal with it? And then two, where do we need to let, and maybe this is part two of this, where do we need to let God intervene in our lives during this season to let him be Emmanuel, God with us? Take some time. I just want to give you a couple of minutes. Just kind of sit. If something comes to mind and you want to write it down and take an action step upon it, let's do that. Maybe you need to, I will not run from this today on a piece of paper and put it in your car or on your home office, or if you are in a workplace, a reminder that God is present with you. Let me pray for us. Lord, whatever those situations or things are that during this season we really just don't want to deal with, Lord, I ask that you would make yourself present and known. And Lord, we want to thank you that you chose to enter the space and time and physical reality which you created, to embody your creation for us. We want to give you praise. Remind us afresh and anew during this season. This is not just a story on a page. This is not a Netflix series that we watch over again during the season, that it is reality, that the God of the universe came in flesh for us. Remind us again, afresh and anew today. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.